Well, it's great to welcome Matt Larson to MSU today. Matt is the Associate Athletic Director for Communications, and everything he does is at MSUSpartans.com. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Russ, for having me.
So Tom's starting his 25th year. Tom Izzo is the coach of the men's basketball program. You've been with him now starting your 21st. Just reflect a little bit on, you know, having such a front row seat to this, one of the top college basketball programs in the country.
You know, I've certainly been blessed to be, for the last quarter century, to be witness to some great basketball. I originally, as you know, I went to Duke for my undergrad and graduated in 98, and I needed a, I figured I could always go take me where my degree was, and that was public policy or law school or something like that. But I decided, you know what, athletics is more interesting. Let's at least give it a shot. That was my work study job at Duke. And Michigan State was the first place that offered me a job, and it was a one-year job, a one-year internship. And they said, why don't you stick around another year? We'll let you travel a little bit with football and basketball. So much of life is being in the right place right time. The individual that was working with men's basketball left in September of 99. They needed someone to fill in right away, didn't really have time for much of a national search, and that was my opportunity. And that first year, Michigan State basketball ends up winning a national title, and kind of the rest is my history, at least, you know.
Right.
You know, back to your question, to have a front row seat for the last 20-some years, the highs, the lows, the relationships, understanding that these student-athletes that come through here are more than just a name on the back of a jersey and a number. They're people, and you see them mature through time. You see them grow as people. You see them grow as players. You know, I remember back in fall of 2008 being at our preseason picture day, taking all the photos for the media guide. And this little pudgy kid is out there, not so little, but he was definitely pudgy, kind of not exactly filling out the jersey in the right way, and looking at him and be like, are we going to redshirt that guy? And it turned out we played him a little bit, and, you know, 4 years later, he's National Player of the Year, of course, talking about Draymond Green, and now, you know, multi-time NBA All-Star, Defensive right. Player of the Year, NBA champion, you know, but you think about where he was from when he came to Michigan State that fall. So the relationships I've been able to develop with the coaches, the student athletes, media members throughout the years have been certainly what's most special to me.
Well, Matt, let's talk a little bit about this version, the 1920 version of the Spartans. I guess it's no secret it kind of begins and ends with Cassius Winston, right?
Yeah, you know, without a doubt, this is Cassius's team. Tom used the expression, you know, he's the straw that stirs the drink, and he is. We have some really good ice cubes in there, but Cassius is the straw. He makes it all go. He's a great balance to Coach Izzo, who, no secret, wears his emotions on his sleeve. Cassius, I think sometimes Coach Izzo would like to see some more emotion, and yet that's also his greatest strength. You know, that when things may not be going well, there's a calmness about him that he gets his teammates to believe in him, and they understand if he's on the court, I just need to be prepared. He'll find me and allow me to make a play.
And is Coach Izzo determined to get him a little more rest this year? And if so, is part of that being more confident with the backups, right?
You know, every year at every year at Media Day, you hear a bunch of things that are all good in theory. And then you hit the court.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I think that we'll get more rest for Cassius, but more is a relative term, right? There are many games where there was no rest or 30 seconds of rest. I don't think we're looking to cut Cassius' minutes to 28 or something like that. But I think he mentioned 32, maybe in some of these other games, 35, 36, but still being able to know that even if we're playing – you know, number 3 Kentucky or number 2 Kansas or number 5 Duke or whomever it is, you know, we're on the road at Michigan. But you know what? We're going to give Cassius a couple minutes on the bench in the first half and a couple minutes somewhere in the second half to allow him to catch his breath, to be strong down the stretch. You don't need a lot. You just need a little bit. Yeah. And there's no question the depth at that point guard position is greater this year.
And how is Joshua Langford progressing, Matt? I mean, he missed most of the season, but he and Cassius with some health could be the best backcourt in the country, right?
Yeah, I think that's the greatest unknown of this season for Coach Izzo, and it's the reason that he, in some ways, as he sits there and thinks about what do I need to shore up with my team, he thinks about Joshua Langford and how much can he count on Josh. You know, he's back practicing now. How's he going to do when it's a game? Or how's he going to – he might do great in that first game, but then how's he going to do in a back-to-back? Or we go to Maui in late November and we have 3 games in 3 days. How much can you count on him? How much rest do you need to give him? You know, you miss 7 months of no basketball activity. You can't just snap your fingers. So it's a balancing act because you have to give him practice time to get better. But you don't want to give him so much practice time that he's wearing down as well. You still need to allow ease back into things. So it's a delicate balancing act, and it's the reason that Coach Izzo said, you know, 40-0 is not one of our goals.
Yeah.
You know, that's just – it's not realistic. You look at the schedule we play. You look at the Big Ten we play. Look, will we love to go 40-0? Sure. But at the end of the day, you know, Kentucky a couple of years ago went undefeated regular season, undefeated all the way to the Final Four. Then they lost. Very few people remember that they were 38-1 or whatever it was. You know, it's a great record. But at the end of the day, you know, this program is about winning championships, not just racking up total wins.
And Matt, who else on a very deep roster would you just like to highlight for whatever reason going into the season for fans to watch for?
I think, you know, it's no secret, guys like Xavier Tillman, Aaron Henry, as Coach Izzo looks at his roster, he feels confident at the point guard. What you would probably call small forward, that'd be Aaron Henry. And then, you know, whether you want to say that Xavier's the center or power forward. But you have three guys that have been healthy, that are all coming back. You feel confident about those three positions. Then you've got Langford, and, you know, there's no doubt, to go back to your Langford question, if he is healthy, then Cassius and Josh are as good a backcourt as there is in college basketball. You know, and then it's who steps forward in that other position. But other, you know, I think there'll be a lot of people that will contribute. You know, Tom said he could have 12 people that somewhere you have to trim the numbers.
Yeah.
And he'd like for the players to separate themselves more so than him. He'd like someone to step forward. And a lot of, you know, that power forward position, is it Thomas Kithy or is it a couple of freshmen, Malik Hall, Julius Marble? How are they going to – what roles can they play? I think those are some of the questions to look for. And then, you know, I think people will enjoy watching Rocket Watts. Very quick, strong, very good passer. But I think his explosiveness could add a dimension. He could play some point, allow Cassius to come off the ball. Foster Lawyers has it now a year of experience in the program. I think this is a big year for Foster. But from what I've seen in practice so far, he looks like a much improved player as well.
Talking with Matt Larson on MSU today, Matt oversees the communications effort for Spartan Athletics, and while he's relinquished the day-to-day control, he still oversees men's basketball as well. So, and Matt, you touched on it. It's a typical Izzo schedule. I mean, November and into December is going to be a bear again.
Yeah, from the Tuesday to open the season on November 4th or 5th, whatever that Tuesday is, to that first Tuesday in December when we play Duke here at Breslin Center. That is going to be 4+ weeks of, you know, we'll play number 2, Kentucky, and then we'll play at Seton Hall, which has a preseason first-team All-American on their roster. They're anywhere from 10 to 15 in the preseason, but that's a road game. That's going to be a big deal for us to go to their place. Then you've got Maui, where you could face Kansas in a championship game, and they're in everybody's top 5. And then, you know, you come back and you're playing Duke here at Breslin Center at, you know, a 9:30 game on a Tuesday night. But I don't think anyone will really care. Probably a lot of people calling in sick the next morning, right, at least. So that's as tough and challenging a 28, 29-day stretch as you're going to find out there in college basketball. And so with some of those question marks, how is Joshua Langford, one guy we haven't even talked about, how is Kyle Arnes back? Yeah. Everyone remembers watching him go down in the Big Ten Tournament Championship game. Coach Izzo saying at his press conference just a couple days ago that if Kyle was healthy, you know, he thinks that that could have been something to get us over the hump in the Final Four, you know. So it's one of those things. I think you need a bunch of people to contribute. We're not a team that has all those. There are three or four surefire first-round NBA draft picks. We have a lot of guys that could play in the NBA. We have some guys that could work themselves into first-round NBA draft picks. But, you know, this isn't a team with a ton of five stars. It's a ton of guys that care about each other, that work well to each other, work well with each other, and they're just hard workers, you know, and they understand that we accomplished great things last year because we almost didn't take anything for granted. We were concentrated on what was the next task at hand, and I think we'll have to have that same approach moving forward.
And then, Matt, as you look around the Big Ten, who else might challenge the Spartans for the title and some players to watch for?
You know, there is – that is a good question because it depends which magazine, which preseason magazine you pick up as to what you're going to read that answer is. I think Maryland is certainly one of those teams. They bring back a point guard. They bring back a center, Anthony Cowan and Jalen Smith, that are, you know, both on NBA radars, both have experience. Purdue – it's just, even though that they've had to replace a lot of shooting, they're kind of now being like a little bit like sometimes Michigan State is, sometimes the Wisconsin is. You know, you're not exactly sure where it's going to come from. They have a great coach, and you know they'll find a way. I think Michigan could be interesting as they look at first year under Juwan Howard. They've got Mo Wagner's brother, Franz, and what is he going to add to that team? I think Ohio State has a lot of they have some influx of guard talent, and then they have a lot of guys back. They have a lot of – they have a team that could go pretty deep where they have a lot of talent. And then you got a team like Illinois who had one of their worst seasons record-wise last year. They kind of got it clicking towards the end of the year, beat Michigan State down there in Champaign, and they bring back a lot of talent, and it's third year or so for the new coach, and you just feel that that's a program that's got a lot of talent there. And, you know, they have a sophomore that could have entered his name in the NBA draft, which, as we know, with Miles Bridges before, it creates a lot of buzz, creates some excitement within the program. So you've got a lot of teams. I think it's pretty clear at Michigan State's number one. But after that, maybe Maryland, Ohio State, but Purdue, you know, all those teams I mentioned before, a lot of teams, it wouldn't surprise me if they threatening. And the thing about Big Ten basketball that I think people take for granted until you travel with the team, till you're in these venues, is you don't understand how hard it is to win on the road. Big Ten basketball has led the nation in attendance for 40-some years. I mean, it's remarkable, but it's real. Every venue, nearly every venue, is a tough place to play at. You know, it doesn't. I mean, you go to Nebraska. Nebraska's picked 13th or 14th in a lot of these Big Ten preseason rankings, mostly because it's a completely new roster, and so people don't know what to expect. That place in Lincoln's going to have 15, 16, 17,000, however many it holds. Right. It's going to be sold out, and that place is going to be rocking. And it doesn't matter if Wisconsin's number one in the Big Ten or number eight in the Big Ten. The Kohl Center is going to be full with 19,000 Badger fans. So all these places, it is tough to win on the road. Yeah. So, you know, we want to win every game. We want to win every game and everything we do. We want to win everything we do in football, in basketball. Is that realistic? No. And I think sometimes perspective is hard for everyone to maintain, fans, media, but also coaches too. You know, the morning after a loss, you know, you think the sky is falling, and by the afternoon you get on the practice court and everything's kind of better. It's back to work. Yeah. You know, you just got to be invested in the process.
So, Matt, as another season is about to get going too, just sort of the state of the game, some of the concerns, the challenges – I know Tom's on a lot of boards and thinks about this. What's the state of the game right
you
now?
You know, I think the state of the game is good. Obviously, the topic of name, image, and likeness has right. come out. But I think that that's, in my mind, that will kind of work itself out.
Yeah.
You know, you think about where we were 10 years ago, even 6, 7 years ago, and all the advances for the student athletes, cost of attendance, unlimited meals, some of the various things that have gone into place already. I think that 10 years from now, there's no question we'll look back and find ourselves in a much different place than we are yeah. now. I think that all kind of works itself out. I know one of the things Coach Izzo has said is that he wants to make sure that it's coaches, athletic directors, yeah. administrators, the NCAA, that are making sure that we are addressing these problems head on. Let's not put our head in the sands. Let's not leave other people outside to try and force our hand, and kind of shame on us for allowing that to happen. But let's address these problems, okay? And then we can figure out how do we implement it. What does it look like? I think those are all the things that are important to think about. But I think, the enthusiasm continues to be at an all-time high. Right. I mean, you look at yep. the Final Four. It's still the greatest event in sports. You know, March Madness is still extremely healthy. Are there other issues that need to be worked on? Absolutely. There is some stuff in the federal courts, FBI trials and everything. I think Spartan fans should be happy with the program that we run here at Michigan State. No, obviously we want to achieve as much as we can, but we go about doing it the right way. And I hope that's something everyone takes great pride in.
Matt Larson, my guest on MSU Today, for over 20 years, been intimately involved with the men's basketball program. And Matt, you have sort of been promoted. Now you oversee the entire communication effort for Spartan Athletics. And when we met, this was called Sports Information. I think athletic communications encompasses a lot more of all the things that go on. But I'm just curious, how has this whole business changed? Obviously, we have the social media now, and your guys do such a great job on Instagram and things like that. How has it changed, and is the stuff you produce almost as important as the media coverage we still want? There's a lot in there, but
yeah.
talk to
me
about
some
of that.
Those are some philosophical questions. I think there's no doubt, So I started, my first year with basketball was 99-2000. Okay. I remember getting a cell phone then for the first time. Now my 9-year-old daughter, she wants a cell phone. Okay. And it's probably because
it better be an iPhone.
Yeah. And it's probably because some of her friends do have one.
Yeah, good point.
And I'm, here working full time trying to do publicity for a top five yeah. men's basketball team in 1999. And, it was a new thing. I remember when text messaging became a thing, and all of a sudden it was a lot easier to get in touch with the players. I mean, I used to have to try and call Mateen and Morris, their roommates, try to call them at on their landline in their apartment to remind them to come, for an interview.
Yeah.
Come over to Breslin Center. And there was definitely one occasion where I was like, I don't care which one of you it is, but I need one of you.
Yeah.
So come on over. We've got a live TV thing pretty soon. So text messaging allows me to sweat a little bit less, or worry a little bit less. The internet has changed. What we consider media has now changed. Yeah. And I think that that is the greatest difference.
Okay.
It used to be you could count on the people that were covering you, that there was some sort of formal training that they'd undergone. And that isn't always the case anymore.
Right.
I'm sure you see that. I mean, you're still involved with trying to do some of that formal training, but we'll get requests regularly, whether it's for credentials, interviews, of people that you don't know where they're coming from. And so it makes things more difficult. It's one of the things you'll hear the media silently complain about, that their industry has shifted and that there are more and more, whether it was fan bloggers or just, you know, non-traditional media. And yet, I think a lot of the burden falls on athletic departments, pro teams, you know, to kind of police, it's the wrong word, but to kind of manage it, you know. So it's a different world out there. It's, your listeners probably have no idea what I'm talking about, because it's really getting in the weeds about what we do.
And they're not supposed to think about what you're doing. No. They just know they see the great content everywhere.
But it is hard. It is hard. Because now it's hard to differentiate between someone that is there and is doing the homework. You know, Coach Izzo all the time. I mean, Coach Izzo opens up his practice to the media a couple times a week. And part of it is so that they are educated, you know, so that when they write, they have some idea as to why he's doing what he's doing. You know, they can disagree with it. He understands if they disagree with it. But he respects people that do their work. I think now, if you're really good with, you know, web programming, you can make your website look as good as, you know, the Detroit News website. Yeah. And then it could be hard for a consumer of information to differentiate between, all right, who's the guy that has talked to the players, that has talked to the coaches, and who's the guy that is having a few drinks in his basement and putting together, some attack piece that may or may not be based on fact, you know. And I think those are some of the things that you have to fend off a little bit more. Those are what makes things different than they were 20 years ago. And so on one hand, social media is great. It allows you to be informed all in one place about a lot of different things. But you got to watch who you're following too. Make sure you're getting a wide variety of opinions. This could be a whole separate interview.
Yeah.
I just caution with, I don't know. It's a good question. You made me get a little deep here with my answers, it's a battle, but it's a chore that we deal with every day, because like I said, I have no problem with a reporter, with a columnist, being critical of our program. If they are putting in the work, if their stuff is based on facts and they are paid to have an opinion, but you know, you read it and you're like, I may not agree with it, but I see what their supporting evidence is. I see how they get from their evidence to their conclusion. All that stuff makes sense. You know, that probably means I got to do a better job at my, you know, either I disagree and maybe I can do a better job at getting our point across and maybe get them to see things a different way. You know, I'm not afraid to pick up the phone and call a reporter and say, hey, I disagreed with you there. They may see things from a different angle. I don't expect them to change their story. Just maybe think, hey, next time think about this. And they may say, hey, regardless of how much technology we get in our life, I'll end on this.
Yeah.
Relationships are still important, you know, and valuing people and respecting people. And I think so much, unfortunately, now you have people chiming in that don't have relationships. You have people chiming in that don't know what's going on. But it's important in my job to have a relationship with the media that are covering us, whether they're locally or nationally, to be able to pick up the phone and say, hey, I've got a great story for you to tell about Michigan State Athletics, or, hey, I saw your writing on this. Have you thought about, you know, this perspective? Those are some of the things that, regardless of how much technology we get in our lives, this is still a communications business, and you have to be able, oddly enough, to communicate.
Well, Matt, as we close, let's circle back around. I appreciate those observations. Just the key points for the season we're heading into for Spartan basketball. What should we keep in mind, and what are you looking for?
You know, I would keep in mind, like I said, Coach Izzo said he's not going to ask Calipari for the trademark on his 40-0 T-shirts. That is not a, if we stumble once or twice, expect us to win, absolutely, because absolutely we go into every, the mind of an athlete is an amazing thing. They go in expecting to win every game. You know, sometimes you'd be like, really? Did you see how good that other guy was? And they're like, but they expect to win. That's awesome. Yes, you know, that's something I don't possess that. So I hope our fans expect us to win. I hope our fans also understand that the college basketball season, we haven't even hit winter. Yeah. And you realize it's going to end after the winter. So
yeah,
we got a long time to go. Okay. We got a long time to go. And this is a team that has some question marks. I think those question marks will work themselves out. Unfortunately, it's going to be a little bit of trial by fire early.
Yeah.
And yet, as coaches and I were talking the other day, someone's got to be number one.
Right.
And so we have our question marks. I think almost every team in America would love to trade places with us right now. So you've got a great group of guys. As we're talking specifically, really throughout our athletic department, but as we look at the men's basketball program, you got a great group of guys that are well-rounded individuals that have more to their life than just basketball, but they're also really committed. They all got off Twitter. They wanted to sacrifice something to show that, hey, we're in this together. Yeah. This is our core group. Let's go accomplish, some great things.
Tom must be thrilled with that one.
he's thrilled, but he's not fooled. He goes, they didn't get off all social media, just Twitter.
His favorite one, yeah.
That's right.
Matt, thanks so much for joining me today on MSU Today, sharing your observations.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Russ.
That's Matt Larson. He's Associate Athletics Director for Communications at Michigan State University. And check out a lot more, of course, at msuspartans.com. And I'm Russ White. Thanks for listening to MSU Today.